Welcome to the Family Office Real Estate Institute podcast, where we explore family offices, real estate, and the art of preserving legacies and wealth. I'm DJ Van Kuren, and I'm going to be utilizing my experience of investing on behalf of a number of prominent families and working directly for a number of prominent families on their real estate portfolio. I'm going to tap into my decades worth of experience in real estate investing and relationships with some of the most prominent family office leaders in the industry, academics from universities around the world, and industry experts and leaders in the real estate space. So whether you're a family member, family office executive, family office, or real estate enthusiast, the Family Office Real Estate Institute podcast will empower you with knowledge and influential voices. I'm DJ Van Kuren, and this is the Family Office Real Estate Institute podcast. In this episode of Family Office Real Estate Insights, we speak with Joe Hess of C9 Advisors on family office relationships. So today on the show, we have Joe Hess from C9 Advisors. And thanks for being on the Family Office Real Estate Insights, Joe.
Appreciate you having me. Thanks, DJ. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, we were chatting a little bit earlier, and I was thinking back is that I remember that I got referred to you from somebody in California, actually. You were flying through the Denver airport, and we actually met for coffee. And So, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, at the time I was like, okay, so what does he do? You know, what's his real, you know, what's going on here, right? And what I've learned over the years, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here is that, you know, what people, the mistakes that people make when they're trying to work with family offices, and any family office will tell you this as well, is that it's relationship driven. And, you know, people come in and they just try to pitch deals. And it's just like, hey, I'm DJ, and this is what we're working on. Write me a check for $5 million, you know, which isn't the case. It doesn't work like that. And you know that. And it's all relationships. And one of the things that amazes me about you, Joe, is just the amount of relationships that you've developed. And, you know, when I look at the work that you do, I mean, there's a ton of real estate, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the people you know and how you go about things. Would you agree to that?
100%. I mean, I think a lot of things in life are about relationships and real estate business. I mean, you do business with people that you like, and to figure out if you like someone, it takes more than just a 1 minute conversation at a conference and sending them a deal. And especially when you get into families, I mean, even funds or, you know, institutional money. I mean, you know, the executives and the teams and those, but especially at the family level, it's all about, you know, if you like the people you're doing business with and if you can get along. And I mean, every deal is a marriage in a way. So it is a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's trust. So, you know, we'll see each other at different conferences. And, you know, I think I'm pretty good when it goes out to, extending myself. I mean, you really got to go out at a lot of these conferences. There's might be a handful of families, right? And then you have everybody else that's trying to raise money from them. And I remember the last conference we were at, and this has happened a number of times, where I'm like, yeah, you know, how's it going, et cetera, et cetera. And you're like, oh yeah, I met this family, who were legit, right? So what is it that you do at conferences? I mean, is it as simple as just going up and talking to these people, or, you know, how do you identify these families? How do you go about it?
I mean, every conference or every event's a little bit different. I mean, I go in with the mindset of, hey, you know, if I meet a couple really amazing people in 2 days, like that's a huge win. Sometimes, you know, I usually end up meeting at least one good person or family or contact that's going to hopefully lead to something, or, you know, some way I can help them really, you know, on a project. I don't go into it thinking like, oh, hey, how can I meet someone to help me necessarily? But it ends up, you know, evolving. And, you know, it really comes down to just being an outgoing kind of personality. I mean, I think I've been blessed with that, you know, that I can just walk up and say hello to people and you know, just with a friendly demeanor and just, you know, but really ask questions and try and lend help. Cause really, I mean, advisory work and working with families and working on deals, it's a team effort. I mean, you're not going to do anything by yourself, especially when you're talking about, you know, 20, 50, 100, $200 million plus projects. There's many players involved. So, you know, it starts on the ground level and then works its way up. So
what would you say is your, if somebody said to you, okay, so what's your strategy? I mean, if I meet other families, I can tell you what my strategy was when I'm working directly for families and even today. So how do you go about that? So you're at an event, let's say that you meet a family, you know, what are your next steps? What do you say? How do you keep in contact?
I mean, my big thing is just is listening a lot. I mean, asking leading questions, you know, what's kind of the background without trying to be too probing. Like when I meet someone in general, like usually at these events, I mean, I'm generally interested in what they're up to because every family, especially more so than a fund or, you know, an institutional group has a story. And, you know, some of them will share a little bit of their story with you in the beginning and more obviously as the relationship evolves, some are, you know, understandably a little more closed off, but, you know, they're looking to learn a little more about what you do. And a lot of families tend to be interested and excited when I tell them a little more about my background, how I work with other families, how, you know, deals I've done, you know, give them some examples of things I've been working on. And then really it's just about listening and asking leading questions that can just further the conversation. And it's also timing wise, it's like following up immediately, staying on top of it, but not being overzealous. It's like, if I don't hear back from someone for a week, like I don't email them three times in a week, you know, or, you know, it may be a week or two or three. I mean, from a conference in December, I just heard back from someone and it's February 9th. You know, they're like, oh, sorry, I've been traveling the holidays, you know, X, Y, Z. It's not a, you know, one and done, like quick game. It's a long process to get to know people and build relationships. And that's, I think, just kind of sitting back and, you know, letting them evolve is important. I mean, you gotta push sometimes, but in the beginning, it's, you gotta really take it easy, you know, in my.
Well, you use the word push. I wouldn't even, from my experience with you, I would never say, or just keeping, you know, keep in touch. Right. It's one of those things where out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. And, you know, I also think that families, you know, one of the things that I was told when I initially started, when I worked for my first patriarch, somebody said, yeah, are you going to another conference as well? I said, oh yeah. And they're like, good. I want to make sure it's good that you're committed. Right. Because families want to know, are you just there looking for one thing? Or are you, you know, I need to get to know you. And that's the thing that people don't necessarily understand, which is, you know, I've worked with, I was an advisor in the 90s. I worked with retail clients, right? People that were just financial planning. They might be worth less than $1 million. They might be worth $2 million, right? And then I've worked with institutions, the Carlyles, the Blackstones of the world, the Goldman Sachs. And, you know, when you look at families, they're more like those retail clients than they are those institutions. Yeah. I mean, the institutions, they have people that are hired, a lot of them after they got their MBA or whatever. The reality is that they have a box, they're making decisions within that box, and it's not their money. So these families, these wealthy people, and it really doesn't matter whether it's 10 million or, you know, 10 billion for them, it's still their own money. Right. And so there's an emotional decision. And unlike running a business where it's like, oh, this looks good, I'm just going to write a check, you may never get that money again. Right. And so it is important to have that relationship and understanding. And can I trust that person? Right. And the more that you reach out or you help people, the more that they're going to be like, oh, okay, this guy's not trying to, you know, he's a good guy and he's really there to help if there's something that, you know, we need help with. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, and that's really who I am. It's like, I'm there, I'm interested in what's going on. I mean, I love hearing the stories of, you know, how their families evolved or kind of how they came to be where they are, where they're looking to go with it. And, you know, a lot of times, someday they may say, hey, we're interested in this. And, you know, I don't necessarily have the right opportunity in my fingertips, right, that meets that criteria. But I keep in touch. You know, I I meet a lot of people at conferences and see a lot of deals. And on the inverse, I also have to, you know, build and have good relationships with sponsors and groups that have real estate and that have opportunities that I've also vetted, because it's really important to me that if someone says, hey, I want to get into mobile home parks at over a 7 cap, and that's kind of like what my focus is right now, that I bring them, you know, opportunities in the future that I feel, you know, are a good opportunity. It's a deal that I would invest in. And that's how I look at it too. And I think they get that, you know, genuine feeling from me. It's like, I have and will continue to roll fees into deals like I've done with you and on things, you know, like that's just how I am. If I wouldn't do it, I'm not going to show it to somebody else. Yeah.
So what do you say when the family, so you meet somebody at a conference, for example, and they say, so what do you do? What do you say?
I say that, you know, I advise primarily family offices, high net worth individuals on their real estate, you know, transactions. I also work with sponsors, work with developers, and, you know, I really put the two parties together. Like I say, I'm really in the relationship business, and I have a lot of experience in real estate and in structuring and helping them in that kind of form.
Yeah. I mean, some of the projects that we've talked about before, and, you know, one which we'll talk about, you know, the deal in Hawaii, because we'll catch up after this. But, you know, I introduced you to the Marriott family, who is working on some stuff. And, you know, the reason why I was comfortable to do that is because of the relationship that we've established over the period of time, right? Knowing how you work.
Like every, you know, and then we became friends. And I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, it's an evolution. And it's actually fun to go to these events and see people over and over.
It is.
When you may not do a deal with them, but like you become friends and you see them every 3-4 months, have some beers, you know, talk about deals. And then those relationships evolve and they lead to more relationships, like your example there. It's a clear, yeah.
All right. So how do you keep in touch with you're one of the best people I've ever met that really develops these relationships, get to know people. And you do it in a way that's, you know, like you were saying, I mean, it's professional, but also easygoing. It's friendly. I mean, it's great. So, how do you keep in touch?
I mean, I used a CRM for a long time that didn't work that well. And then I just kind of got my own little systems in place. We were talking the other month about CRMs and like trying to find the right solution. So I'm kind of rebuilding that side of it to be even better at it. But I've kind of got my own little processes and, you know, just, I just, like you said, it's just important to keep in touch with people, and whatever your system is, just use it. You know, that's the key in my mind. Like if you've got like a pen and paper and you're going old school, like have a system and utilize it. It's kind of like your accounting or something, like stay on top of it and just use it religiously, whatever that system is.
So how many people do you think you have in your Rolodex that you can say, yeah, I know that person?
I mean, that's tough. I'd have to actually go through and look, maybe like 1,000, 1,500.
So then how do you keep in touch with them? How do you keep in touch with that so many people, especially if you don't have like a CRM system?
Yeah, I mean, I use the CRM, you know, for families and for certain groups, and then other groups, you know, they're just consistently working on deals, and I'm just consistently talking to them all the time about projects and things that are up and coming.
Wow.
My advice is the CRM. I mean, that's, I'm not the best at it, like personally. So, but you know, you got to just use your system. Like,
well,
I've made a New Year's resolution to use mine a lot more, and it's been helpful in just the last month of really kind of getting it moving. So.
Well, we can walk through, you know, one of the things I can tell you this is that one of the reasons why the Family Office Real Estate Institute came about was by a mistake, right? And it started with just providing education for families on a website. Then I wrote a book and I started speaking, right? And it started going. But prior to COVID, I had where I was reaching out to families like every month with different information. And I will tell you that I stopped that during COVID for some odd reason. I just got so caught up in whatever the case was. Significant difference of being in touch and letting people know what's going on and even updates. You know, I mean, I'll never forget the most reply I ever got from families. I was talking about cost segregation, which has to do with real estate. And they're like, what is this? And can you introduce me to somebody about this? And, you know, that was just a simple value add, but it was something I forgot it was sent out, and all of a sudden they got it. So I agree with that. So let me ask you.
Value is really important in so many ways. I mean, I met a woman who had a connection to a family in Asia, and they were like, well, we're really looking for an immigration attorney, you know?
That's right. And I need to get back to you on that too.
Yeah, and I asked you about that, and I have someone else, and there's a guy in Florida, you know. And I mean,
yeah.
I'm happy to ask like people that I know, trusted advisors that I know, like you and other people I've done deals with who, you know, may have some contacts. A client of mine, his wife is South American. So he has a great immigration attorney that I kind of was able to, you know, get his information and pass that along. And then it's like a corporate structuring attorney. I mean, it's not just about, you know, real estate deals. It's families have so many things.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and it comes to is that if it's like when people ask me about different deals, if I know a family's looking for a specific deal, I'll say, hey, can I introduce you, but I'll provide information, you know, in that situation, I don't make anything. But it's just one of those things I'm helping out, sort of like what you're talking about on the immigration side and whatnot. So, you know, one of the things that you've done, when I got out of college, there was something that I said two things. I just want to make, you know, a lot of money, and I want to have fun doing it, right? And it still comes back to what you're saying, which I interpret as add value, right? Add value and develop that relationship. Well, one of the best ways to develop a relationship is doing things, right? Doing things together. Didn't you go on some type of I don't remember if it was fishing or skiing or something with a bunch of investors or something like that?
I love traveling and going on trips and stuff. And, you know, I get invited by friends, you know, and then, you know, friends happen to have friends that are in real estate, and it turns into, you know, a real estate heli ski trip, or it's some sort of like a different sort of adventure. Or, you know, I was talking with a client the other week who wants to go bird shooting, you know, like, you know, they're into that kind of stuff. They have like a firearms company, and, you know, it's across the board. I mean, I'm always up for an adventure. I mean, I'm down to go on a ski trip. Like, I know you plan some stuff up in Colorado and they're coming up and things like that we're going to be doing. And, you know, I'm open for anything. I mean, I love being outdoors and spending time with good people. So building those relationships and doing them in a fun way, you know, why not? that's what it's about.
It comes back to, once again, the relationship. I mean, everything comes back to the relationship, and conversations will automatically come up. You know, what are you working on? What are you doing? And I think one of the things that people need to realize, if you're going to work with family, is that how you bring up something, right? So let me ask you a question, Joe. So let's say that you've got a deal that you think it's great. You were mentioning mobile home parks or whatever the case is, right? How would you bring that up? So let's say you're hella skiing and stuff, and they're like, so Joe, what are you doing? You know, how would you bring up an opportunity to somebody that, you know, you've gotten to know and stuff? Would you say, hey, there's a deal you need to look at, or this is what I'm looking at, or how would you go about that?
I mean, I kind of like to ask what they're like. I hate to bring up deals that are not really for somebody, you know, because it's just like, I hate to waste anyone's time, like waste my time explaining it, waste their time listening to it. So I like to know who I'm talking to and asking a lot of questions about what they've done, what they're looking to do, you know. But if I know someone really well, I mean, they also have lots of other friends also doing deals. So I could say, hey, it's probably not for you because you do, you know, mobile home parks a lot, but I've got a medical deal in the same market as you, you know, or something, or vice versa, you know, that could be interesting. If it's something that I think they're really interested in, I could, you know, you could just, it's just as simple as kind of bringing it up. It's sometimes hard when you're on a trip and you're just having fun to bring up deals. I mean, you can also follow up later and just say after the trip, be like, that was awesome. Like, we had a great weekend, like, you know, X, Y, Z, throw out some fun things like you would do with a buddy, and say, hey, I've got this deal. Here's a few bullet points. Like, let me know if you or like your team wants to dive in, because it may not even really be them. Like, they look at the bullet points and say, yeah, that could be kind of cool. And then they hand it off to their, you know, acquisitions guy or their family yeah. office president or something, who's really the guy you're going to talk to about the details. The last yeah. thing you want to do is like send a 5-page email explaining.
Oh, no. you know what's so interesting to me is that, you know, we would have for various families, we'd open it up for other families to co-invest, right? Yeah. And so some of the things that you brought up, like I love finding out if where the wealth was created, right? So and
so interesting, like genuinely, I'm just like, oh, there's so many
yes.
crazy ways, like things you would never think of. You're like, what? That's a business. Like,
see, that's just exactly what I've said, and I've heard some crazy stuff before, but like, you know, so I think about some things where I literally have said multiple times, I'm like, really? You made a couple hundred million doing that? I mean, it was something just ridiculous, like the switch in the for traffic lights, you know.
Yeah, we got a patent on something. I'm like, what? Like, that's
okay. I know, it's like, really? And yeah. and then, you know, I think of people,
my entrepreneurial mind spinning, because, you know, like, I've got a few businesses, I've started a couple things over the years, and like, I'm like, god, like, can I think of that?
Yeah, right. And then I think of people like Sheila Driscoll, who you know, the Driscoll berries and stuff. And I was asking her one time, I was at a conference, I said, so where was the wealth created? And she's, you know, like a third, fourth generation. She starts telling me the history and she just lights up. She just becomes so passionate about the family and how things started and how they, you know, where they are today, you know. And she's talking about, you know, if you go into a supermarket and you've got fruit and you have all those little holes inside, right, in the plastic. Well, I always thought, oh, okay, they created this so I could put water on and the water comes out, right? That's not how it happened. How it happened, I don't know if you know this, but her like great-grandfather were having berries and strawberries and everything in California, and he'd have to go door to door to sell it. Well, women at the time were always the ones that were home, right? So what he did is he created like a basket, and he put holes in it so the woman could see, or the person at the door could see, if the berries were fresh and if they were okay, right? Because you'd have to dig down to the bottom. It's a visual thing. Yeah. And that's how it created. And I'm like, that is so cool, you know? But it's the passion and stuff that goes about. So, you know, what would you say, and you know, our definition of a family is worth 250 million or more, but yet there's, you know, there's a huge, huge market of people that range everywhere from 10 million to 150 million, right?
Oh yeah, across the board. And you can just as easily talk to a person who just sold their company and made 10, 15 million bucks as a long-term family. I mean, I think that maybe the newer money, or, you know, they just sold their company, are usually pretty open to like having conversations and kind of like learning and that kind of stuff. And maybe the more generational families are a little more reserved sometimes in the beginning. But it really depends on the person. I mean, I've met billion-dollar families that are like, hey, like, you know, they're just, you know, just like they sold their company last week, but, you know, third generation, you know, they're so into it and, you know, this and that. But, you know, everyone's always learning and evolving. And that's why I think like what you're doing with Fori and, you know, the educational side, not only about real estate, but just in general, educating people about what's out there and the market conditions and what they can get into. It doesn't matter if they're 5 or 10 million or 300 million or more, you know. There's a patriarch that's going to be selling a company for billions, you know, coming up. And, you know, I mean, he's already got a lot of money and he's investing and doing things, but, you know, they're focused on their current company. They haven't done the deal yet, you know. So then once that happens, there'll be more time to really focus on maybe real estate deals. Like, so, you know, everyone has timing and things going on in their lives that are outside of our conversation. So I'm just, you know, respectful of that. And, you know, when the timing is right, or, you know, then we can talk further and go from there.
You know, the things that I found that is pretty synonymous, regardless of the size exit, like you said, and I'd love your thoughts on this, but one is the relationship we keep talking about, but also you have these people that have, you know, it could be five, it's usually 30, 40 years that they've been focusing on one thing, the light switches that we said, right? And they don't understand hedge funds and private equity and real estate and, you know, venture capital. And when you think about it, people spend their whole life not only just venture capital, but healthcare venture capital. And it's not just healthcare venture capital, but it's like mid-market, right? Healthcare venture capital, their whole career. So you can't assume that the person you're talking to understands everything, right?
Oh, and everyone's going to have different questions. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, the one thing that is constant is that there's a lot of very smart, very talented people.
Yes,
100%. So when you send them a deal, if it's put together in a normally digestible business manner, like they're going to get it. They're going to have different questions, all depending on their experience, which, you know, to you or me, some of them may seem, okay, well, that's like a basic kind of question, but like, they're just not in the real estate field. So it's just, you just got to go through and educate and show them, you know, what, you know, share knowledge really is what it cannot really show, but more share knowledge and, you know, help them learn about the different facets. Cause in real estate, you know, there's so many different types of deals. I mean,
there is
different ways to go about it and strategies. Like I hear about a new strategy, like every month, especially in this economy, like people are coming up with new ideas like every week. And I'm like, that's interesting. Like, okay. You know,
but it's still, you know, even, and I think what's important too is the fundamentals. We had, you know, when we had a consortium event right before COVID, actually in the February before COVID. And so families came in and people were there actually showing opportunities. And we're going to do that again at the Four Institute, you know, where there's showing the families know that they're going. And I sat down with the, with five sponsors, real estate sponsors, and I told them exactly how to go about it. I said, when you're up there, don't go into your deal. This is our deal. This is how much our raising. If you're doing workforce housing, you need to sit first off and say, look, this is what workforce housing is. These are the characteristics of workforce housing. These are the areas that it's best for. This is the income level, right? And then you come in and you say, for example, the project we're working on, you know, fits this, fits that. And you can assume, so the three that did that got great ratings because we had them rated. The other two that just went into the deal were at the bottom. And literally, there's huge difference.
And even in front of just explaining workforce housing, talk about yourself a little bit, you know, give your background and tell who you are. But the worst thing on a conference call or on a meeting is like, I bring in a sponsor and they start talking, they give like a 15-minute background on themselves.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, you got to like be able to do like a 90-second, you know, high level, like don't name every person you've ever known and every connection, you know, either. I mean, give a background, give some flavor. If people have questions or, I mean, which they will eventually, or want to confirm your relationships and backgrounds, you'll get to it, you know, but give the highlights and say who you are. And then, yeah, you got to go into what the opportunity is, but first you got to, you know, give your background, like you said, give background on what the opportunity is in terms of the grander market before you get into your deal. It's 100%. Yeah.
So if you could give any advice from, you know, and I'll say the success you've had, because like I said, I mean, the way you go about things is amazing and you know, really need to be complimented on that. And so anybody looking to work with families, if you had to say, here are the top three things you need to realize and understand, take to heart, what would be those three things?
Families are people just like you and me, and it's relationships. It's all about for the long run. It's not trying to get a deal done tomorrow. I mean, you may not ever get a deal done with the family that you meet, but you may become friends with them and you like real long time, lifelong friends, you know, have a lot of fun. You may meet other people through them. You know, it's just, they're other people, it's relationships, working together and just keeping in contact and just genuine, be genuine. That's how I operate it from mostly.
You know, I think one of the biggest things too that people need to realize is that it does take time. You know, it could take 30 days, it could take 7 years, right? I mean, you have to be in for the long haul. And if you focus on those relationships, and You know, it may not be something you're working on now. It could be some way down the road, or maybe somebody that they know is like, hey, you should talk to, et cetera. But it, that relationship is so important. So
and consistency too, being consistent. Like I consistently go to certain events, you consistently yes. see people, you build on those relationships, you meet new people through them. I just love meeting people. Like I don't yeah. care if it's traveling and you're meeting people, you know, like in a travel situation, just a social scene, if you're doing a business thing, you know, whatever it is, it's just, I personally genuinely just, you know, love making connections and hearing people's stories and building relationships. So, you know, I guess some of that's learned, but some of it's just my personality. So I'm blessed.
You know, Joe, I have to tell you, I want to thank you for being on the show today. You've brought up a lot of really important stuff. You know, we were having you on our board at the Four Institute, and one of the things, you know, we got some amazing families, amazing professors, and then we have, you know, some sponsors that are on there. And one of the things that I think you can really help on the board is sort of working with these sponsors, letting them know, look at, these are the things that you need to realize. And this is how you go about it. And you got to take a long-term perspective and stuff like that. But Joe Hess, C9 Advisors, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate the friendship that we've created.
Yeah, me as well. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be getting more involved in the Institute and helping out any way I can. So just let me know how I can be of service, and, you know, I'm sure we'll see each other at a conference soon. We were just talking about our schedule coming up.
That's right. That's right. So, Joe, thanks for being on the show. And like you said, we'll see each other here shortly.
Thanks, DJ. Have a nice day.